You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Peak Northwest, an outdoors and travel podcast by the Oregonian and Oregon Live, dedicated to the adventure and exploration of our beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm Jamie Hale, here to take you to some of the most beautiful and interesting destinations in our region, discussing where to go, what to do, and places to see. I'm coming to you solo today as Vicky is out sick dealing with some side effects from the COVID booster. Vicky, we hope you shake that off quickly. But in the meantime, today we'll be headed to some hiking trails around the state, looking at them from a perspective that we tend to ignore, some of us anyway. And, you know, trails are often designed for able-bodied hikers, which leaves many areas inaccessible to hikers with disabilities, including those with blindness or people using mobility devices like wheelchairs or walkers. So, joining me on the show today is Georgina Moran, who is the founder of Access Recreation, a local organization that has spent the last 20 years just about advocating for hikers with disabilities. Georgina, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess to get started here, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background? I mean, how did you come to do this kind of work?
Well, you know, I've always been an outdoor enthusiast. And so prior to having a disability, you know, I was an outrigger canoe racer and, you know, did a lot of hiking, you know, around the Pacific Northwest. And I started experiencing a few physical mobility challenges, I started using a power chair in order to hike. And I found that, you know, coming from an able-bodied background, I really didn't have a clue as to whether some of the places I'd been, I could use with a power chair. I live in Portland, you know, really close to the Columbia River Gorge, and I wanted to hike there. So I, looked online to see what I could find and couldn't get the information. So this is what spearheaded the effort, you know, back in 2003. It's kind of a newbie to a power chair. And it just got things rolling. You know, it's amazing, you know, the last 20 years, what has unfolded, you know, because of my desire to, you know, to play.
Well, that's such a strong desire. I think that so many of us can relate to the desire to get outside, to be in nature, to experience that. Tell us about what the experience was of you hiking in that wheelchair and that power chair. What were some of the challenges you faced that some able-bodied hikers may not be aware of?
For instance, you know, just finding that place, you know, in the gorge. I have a van that has a wheelchair ramp. You know, when I didn't find the information online, I just set out with three places in mind, you know, and the first one didn't have a place to park. So I couldn't deploy my ramp. I mean, it was just along the side of the road there. you know, the other one had a place to park, but I could only get like maybe 100 yards up the trail, this narrow trail. And before I hit an obstacle, like something that crossed the whole tread of the trail, that I, you know, was higher than 2 inches, you know, so my chair couldn't go over it. So I had to back out the entire way.
Oh my gosh.
With somebody kind of like an airline, person in front of me, like, you know, no, a little to the left, a little to the right, you know, and I was able to get all the way back down to my van where I could, you know, or back to the trail head where I could turn around and get back to my van. So, yeah. So the next one, I was able to get on the trail. You know, I hit obstacles. I hit this big rock that they put in there because, you know, I think it was intentional. There was deterioration, you know, on the trail, but I had to like, you know, maneuver around it. There was a big dent right at the base of the rock, and I had to kind of, you know, climb up the edge of the trail in order to get up. My power chair allows me to go up pretty good steep grades, so that was no problem. And, you know, over loose things, which manual chairs might have an issue with. You know, if I have loose sand, which I did on this trail, I could, you know, just be brought down to my axles. Yeah, so... But Joaquina Falls Trail, I was able to get all the way up to this beautiful bridge where I could feel the waterfall against my face. Mm. And that's what the experience that I was after. You know, I saw the picture of the bridge on the website. But, you know, if I would have known, you know, what it would take to get up there before I started, that would be helpful. You know, I may or may not have done it, you know. I mean, this is 20 years ago, so I was much more adventurous than I am now, you know, at 65 years old and, you know, maybe a little bit more cautious, you know. But again, you know, that's mobility. But, you know, other people have other things that... that you may not be aware of that could be an obstacle.
Yeah, it sounds like you went through a lot of this sort of trial and error process, going to some of these places, seeing it, figuring out what, you know, how far you could get, what obstacles were there. But what I've been hearing you, you know, when you talk about access recreation, it seems like a big part of that is providing information to people ahead of time so they know what they're getting into. Is that right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, so... Access Recreation, you know, is just like 4 people. It started out with 4. Now it's 3. It started out as an ad hoc committee of federal, state, and city park agencies, representatives that figured out how to provide information to people with disabilities. We created these guidelines. You know, it's on our accessrecreation.org website. So this was for the agencies to provide better information on their websites. So, you know, the rollout came and everybody was really excited, you know, but they didn't do anything. You know, I didn't see any changes. So we got a couple of grants from Metro and we created Access Trails. Now, that's what you're referring to. Access Trails is 36 parks and trails in the Portland-Vancouver region. You know, what we do on these websites are we provide information. So people, you know, like pictures with descriptions for, you know, people that are blind won't be able to know what a picture looks like. So we provide, you know, descriptions with the pictures, not just the pretty pictures. But ones on about the trail, you know, something, you know, that may talk about, you know, frequency of benches, you know, we provide a map, you know, with the different amenities along the trail, you know, we do kind of like a 1 to 3 mile loop, you know, that incorporates as many amenities as possible with as many trail surfaces as possible. And then we've got this thing called Trail Facts at a Glance, which gives you all the vital information, like, is there public transit? What's the currency of the information that we're providing? Yeah, is, you know, we do kind of like a rating system. Is this easy, moderate, difficult? And then we kind of explain in a, you know, on the in the guidelines what that rating system means. And then sometimes, you know, we've got 18 videos. And the videos are, it's been a learning process with those too. You know, the first video we did, one of my colleagues who's blind said, yeah, well, I got nothing out of that one, you know, and it was like, oh, right. You know, if you're blind, you know, there's got to be narration that really addresses what's in the video. So anyway, so that's, yeah, that's Access Trails.
What I love about Access Trails is you mentioned this, that the photos you have on there, the information you have on there is like really basic stuff that is so easily overlooked. I mean, I'm so used to when I write a story about a hike, I'm used to putting up pictures of, you know, the viewpoint and the waterfall and, you know, the forest and all the stuff. But when I go to Access Trails, I see pictures of things like the parking lot and the, you know, the lip of the bridge, all these details
sometimes
that are
super
important.
Sometimes the inside of a bathroom.
Right? Right. Yeah. And this it's super, super important information for people. It seems like the work, what I've been hearing from you, the work is to not only provide this information through Access Trails, but then to get other places to also provide this information, say Oregon State Parks or U.S. Forest Service or U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So can you talk a little bit about sort of how your advocacy has evolved it to the point where it is now, or maybe we talked before this recording about some of the work you've been doing. It sounds like there's been an effort to get some of these agencies to provide this information on their own.
Yeah, that's our sole focus now. So what we do now is Access Recreation does trainings for these agencies. This has generated a, you know, we've got a cooperative agreement now with the Fish and Wildlife Service. They want to make one of their refuges the premier site of all the guideline principles that we created. So So we did training with some of their youth employment individuals and with their staff. We did a national fish and wildlife training with their director. So, yeah, so that's happening. You know, Wilsonville contacted us, you know, to do a training. You know, we've got, you know, a couple other irons in the fire. The Trail Keepers of Oregon that created the, you know, kind of a, you know, a go-to book on hiking trails in Oregon. You know, they want to do an update of all their hiking trails based on the guideline principles. So we, you know, they contracted us to do two trainings so far with a virtual that's all about the guidelines and Access Trails and how to do it. And then a on-site training where they actually take the lead and go on the trail and take pictures and take measurements and, you know, gather the information so that they can learn how to apply it on their in their book. So again, you know, it's you know, we're hoping that it's going to start spreading amongst agencies so that they can do this. And again, you know, part of the reason why they've been hesitant, they know they've got information that people could use, you know, but they're afraid of liability. They're afraid of saying something might be usable because if somebody gets hurt, they're liable. Yeah. So what we do on Access Trails is we just say what it is, you know, what you're going to encounter. We don't say accessible or usable unless it's an ADA bathroom, you know, something that, you know, that has an accessible parking space. You know, that way we take the liability right off the table, right off the, you know, it's not an issue. Now the trainings are going to be it. You know, it's going to be hopefully what changes their reticence. You know, any chance I get to, you know, be able to promote this, you know, like on your blog, you know, I'm all in.
Well, you've mentioned, you know, these guidelines, and without necessarily getting too deep into the weeds about them, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what these guidelines are that you're bringing to agencies.
The guidelines are in two different parts. One is like, you know, seven different things that you can do that information that you already have, you know, this is for agencies, you know, information, you know, like what's a telephone number that'll go to a human being rather than a machine? Is there a bus, you know, that goes there? What is your address, a physical address? So somebody that is perhaps using a Lyft service, you know, you can't go to a place unless it's got a physical address. You know, so all of that information, you know, is what we would say are the top tier. Then the second tier in the guidelines is things that might be a little cost, you know, like having a staff person go out and take pictures, improving your, you know, your website with a description that might be more usable, you know, creating that map, you know, with the icons. That's basically what the guidelines is about. And, you know, the guidelines also is a wealth of information for people that want information on how to design a trail, people that want information about, you know, different disabilities. And it's got a glossary that's just like miles long.
Yeah, that sounds like such great information to have. And like you said, a lot of information that is already out there, but just needs to be perhaps organized and made available.
And put on the top of your website so you don't have to, you know, henpeck, you know, in order to find that telephone number at the very bottom, you know, dug in there somewhere, you know, for somebody that uses a reader and is blind. You know, it's like, oh my God, you know, it's definitely a hardship.
Yeah. You know, like we said kind of at the top, this is, you know, a lot of stuff that those without disabilities of any kind just may not be aware of or may not think about, but obviously hugely important to any hikers who do have any kind of disabilities. I mean, this might be kind of an obvious question, but I wondered if you could just sort of speak to the importance of getting this information out there, why this is such a big deal.
You know, there's certain things, you know, like I said, you know, I wasn't aware of before I became disabled. You know, mobility limitations, you know, or like, you know, the grade, the cross slope, you know, stability of the surface and different obstacles, you know, over 2 inches. But then there's things like, you know, people who are slow walkers, you know, they may need a bench, they may need something in the shade, they may need something in the sun, you know, describe that. Then there's, you know, sensory limitations, you know, somebody with a visual impairment, you know, is there edge protection? You know, is there like a tactile division between surfaces, you know, between the edge, you know, if there isn't edge protection, is there like high grass or something they can use with a cane, braille, tactile maps, you know, touchable objects that might be kind of useful or enjoyable, you know, and then like also in sensory, you know, people with auditory limitations. If you have a video, is there closed captioning? you know, different factors. If you're in a place where you're watching something, you know, in a visitor center, you know, is there a way to combine your hearing aid with, you know, with the existing audible? You know, fluorescent lights can just really screw with your hearing. Yeah. And then there's cognitive stuff. You know, people with PTSD, again, you know, like if you're going through a deciduous forest and that flickering light can be like a strobe light, and that could, you know, mess you up. If the park is near a gun range, which it happens, there's plenty of parks out there that are kind of off the beaten path, right next to a gun range, you know? And, you know, that would be an issue, you know, with somebody, And, you know, and also like closed loops can be useful for people that might get lost if they have cognitive disabilities. So again, just all that information, it doesn't need to be pointed out, you know, this is for so-and-so, or this is will help with such and such. Just provide the information so we can decide for ourselves. Because a lot of people don't consider themselves disabled. Yeah, it's just they got something, you know?
As you and I have talked about before, I mean, it's something that virtually all of us will face to some degree at some point, whether, you know, we find ourselves pushing a baby stroller, or we find ourselves with, you know, a broken foot, or, you know, or like you said, any number of factors, PTSD, paralysis, blindness. I mean, these things happen to people, especially if we should be so lucky to, you know, live to an old age. Something that I think most of us will face to some degree at some point. And your point about just providing the information seems very reasonable.
It is. It helps everybody. You know, I mean, that you're right. I mean, people have accidents. They need to rehabilitate, you know. Having a bench occasionally might be nice. You know, it helps everyone.
Yeah.
And everybody uses this, you know, our resource. I mean, Hike It Baby, which is all about bringing kids out to hike. They use us almost exclusively, you know, because their information, it's good to know ahead of time what you're up against, you know, and what kind of, you know, is there a picnic area, you know, and is it covered? Is it rentable? You know, all that stuff, you know, it can be easily put out there with pictures and descriptions, you know, and a lot of these websites, you know, they could do that. But they just don't know what to do, you know, which, you know, what pictures and descriptions are most important.
You're obviously not the only one doing this work. So I wonder if you can maybe shout out a few other organizations or resources that people maybe should be aware of.
Yeah. Empowering Access. Ashley Schaefer, you know. Man, I could name drop her all day long. She has worked with another organization, Oregon Health and Outdoor Initiative, and they've developed the accessibility toolkit. That's for agencies to use. Social media toolkit. Again, you know, kind of how to make it more open and inclusive, social media wise. The accessible travel guide, you know, it's kind of a guide. It's an Oregon thing. You know, and let's see, disabled hikers guide, you know, it's something that you can Kindle or have a guidebook in your hand of Western Washington and Oregon. They've got kind of a unique way of grading everything. The whole concept of, you know, I've only got this many spoons, you know, as much energy, you know, it takes two spoons to do this, you know. You know, it might use up five spoons if you do the.
I love that. That's great.
Right?
Yeah. Amazing.
So, yeah. So those are a couple.
Awesome. Well, so a lot of really good stuff out there. And we are going to actually talk to you a little bit more about some of the best accessible hiking areas in this region. But first, we're going to take a quick break. All right, folks, we are back talking to Georgina Moran from Access Recreation about hiking with disabilities. And Georgina, we talked a lot about some of the advocacy work you have been doing over the last 20 years or so, but I want to talk to you now about some of your favorite hiking spots. This is something we love to do on this podcast, is give people some recommendations and places to go. So do you have a few in the area that you really want to shout out?
Yeah, boy, I've got more than a few, but I'll try to hone it down a little bit. Well, you know, we've got like really amazing ones to hidden gems, and I'm going to start with a hidden gem.
Okay.
Fieldsbridge Park in West Lynn. So this is it's got parking, you know, it's got a little playground. It's got a fishing platform, which is pretty awesome. It's got, you know, it's got like a lowered area, you know, for somebody to fish from a chair. You know, it's pretty awesome. You could also get down to the water there. It's along the 12th. And, it's got a story to tell, you know. There's a little mystery that unfolds when you take a hike. You know, there's benches along the river's edge. It's a small park, but it packs a wall up. It's pretty good.
Okay, wait, but what is this mystery unfolding? I'm so curious.
Oh, do you
about
want me
this.
To tell you?
Was there? I mean, is this like a no spoilers situation or like?
No, I could tell you. There's a meteorite, you know, landed really close to there. And it's a story about, it's because of the, you know, the ice age, you know, it kind of shoved it down there. And so it kind of tells a story about the meteorite and how somebody came and tried to steal it. But then it was so heavy that it brought their little wagon down, and they couldn't do it, and they went to jail, and you know, and then it ended up back to where it started from, you know, somewhere east of here. So it no longer is in the area, but it does have a replica that you could touch. We brought one of my blind colleagues out there. And she was like, oh my God, I could actually touch it. This is so awesome.
Wow.
Right?
Oh, that's so cool. I've not been out to this park, and I'm dying to check it out now that you're talking about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 That one's awesome. Let's see. What other? Well, okay. I'm going to tell you about another hidden gem. Spring Park. It's Park. In North Clackamas. And you know, it's a simple little park. There's not a lot there, you know, no parking, you know, it's all street parking. But in low tide, you can get all the way down to the Willamette River and cross over to another little island. And that's got, it's got tide pools. Again, I wasn't able to go, you know, because of my power chair. And it was kind of soft, you know, when it was low tide. But, you know, I had a great viewpoint, you know, of, you know, the Willamette, you know, all the action. So again, I'm drawn to places that have water. So, Yeah, so those are two. I can give you one more.
Please.
That's more over in the the north, and Smith and Bybee Wetlands Natural Area.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, right? That's a great spot.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's, you know, it's a great place in the spring to bring your binoculars and cameras and see the birds. Mm-hmm. It's, there's two wetland areas. There's an area where you could slip in and go kayaking. Again, some great viewpoints. There's one, a couple that are covered if it's raining. One that's not. And again, it's just a great place to check out wildlife and enjoy nature.
It's a great birdwatching spot. We featured a local birdwatching club, the Guerrero Bird Club. Folks who listened to that episode may remember hearing about Smith and Bybee as just a great place with a lot of paved trails, sort of flatter areas, but lead you to these really beautiful viewpoints. And that's what I love about it. It's just such a nice spot. And right here in Portland.
Yeah. 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 Exceptional place.
Okay, Georgina, give us one more. We got time. Just give us one more little spot.
Well, there's Rood Bridge in Hillsborough. Rood Bridge provides a number of different things. You can get a viewpoint of the water, the river going by, but not as clear as these others. But it's got like a kind of a waterfall feature. It's got a big open area where you could, play with your friends and family. Picnic areas. Another pond. Where you can get close and see waterfowl. It's got just a number of paved trails, around there, and a few natural surface trails, along that little pond area. So it's just got a variety of different things. And all these that I've given you, they're all different agencies. So, they're all on access trails. But again, how do you find these? There's no central, place except for access trails.
Well, we're certainly glad that you're coming on today to share some of those with us. So folks, if you want to find out some more of these hikes, there are a few dozen of them on accesstrails.org, and you can find out more about Access Recreation at accessrecreation.org. Those two websites are, of course, linked together. Georgina, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. I love promoting our work, and thanks for helping me do it.
Well, folks, that'll do it for today. But until next time, you can watch our videos on the Oregonian's YouTube channel and view all of our travel and outdoors coverage on oregonlive.com/travel, as well as hereisoregon.com. Please leave us a rating or review if you enjoyed the show. And if you want to support the podcast and our local journalism, please consider a subscription to Oregon Live. You can find details at oregonlive.com/podsupport. Also, if you're a fan of the show and are interested in potentially sponsoring it, you can get in touch with our marketing people at advertise@oregonian.com. This episode of the show is produced by me, Jamie Hale, alongside Vicky Connor and Andrew Thien. Stay safe and happy travels, everyone. Until next time, we leave you with this 10 seconds of Zen.